I'm not good. There's only one that's good. It's Jesus. Thank you for letting me share. Are you familiar with the term Montezuma's Revenge? Well, we use it in America when you're traveling and you stop somewhere and you eat, and then all of a sudden everything falls apart. Well, it looks like Montezuma is here in Tin Can Bay. And so last night my family came and we got a hotel and cabin and we ate some stuff at a place that normally, I won't tell you what it is because normally it's fantastic. Well, we couldn't sleep last night. So, you know, if I start falling asleep up here, it's because I haven't had a lot of sleep. I remember when I first was a young Christian, I sat in the back because I was embarrassed. And I noticed everybody in the rows, when the preacher would preach, they'd be doing this. And I thought, that's amazing. They agree with everything he said. And then I had an opportunity to share my testimony. And when I looked at the audience, I saw this. So I hope I don't fall asleep on you today. I have a couple of things I want to share. This is my son. He helped me make a PowerPoint. And are we on? Yeah. So I'm. What are we? Southeast Queensland Navigators. The Navigators is a worldwide organization, and we have our own sister organization here in Australia. And I minister with them under the auspices of Aussie Road Chaplain. And we travel all over the place and help wherever we can help. What do we got? All right, I want to talk to you about Australia Got Talent. Recently, in recent days, my son has become addicted to Australia Got Talent. And every time I go by the computer, he's doing watching someone juggle or someone sing. And so I started thinking, you know, that's interesting. That's a biblical point. Next, when I go like that, that means you have to do it. Are you familiar with the term dyslexic? A dyslexic person is someone who has a learning deficiency. I'm dyslexic. And oftentimes, I don't know if you remember, where I would get up here and I'd press that thing and I was supposed to go right and I went left, left, right. And so I eventually decided, well, I'll let my son do it. And so when I go like that, it's the change of slide. Well, this verse is really interesting. It basically says that each one of us has been given a gift, or let's call it a talent. So Australia got talent. Australia got talent. Now, over here is a gentleman who God has given many talents to. And way over there, there's a gal who God has given many talents to. And those talents are for him, and those talents are for her. And each one of us, God has invested talents to minister to the body of Christ. Now, here's where it gets confusing and gets complicated. Sometimes that talent is invested in someone we don't like. They just really get on my nerves. You know, honey, the other day I could... Right? But in that person is a talent that was given to God from the beginning of time for you. And so unless you get over it, you may never be able to take advantage of that talent. Where I'm going to go through, now some of what I'm going to share, some of you already know. So I apologize for I'm repeating it. But I don't know that you know it because you never told me. And when I found out, I'm going to talk about 8 different people. And I am so excited. I'm a little nutty. But I am so excited what I've learned about these 8 people. And I'm going to share that with you. Let's do the first one, Ramon. This guy, are we familiar with this fella? Do you know? Congratulations, Australia. Congratulations. Congratulations. Do you know that you won World War I? Huh? Raise your hand. How many know you won World War I? 2 of you knew that you won World War I. I thought it was the American doughboy who came to Australia, to Europe to fight. Well, I was wrong. As I studied Monash, Monash is an interesting fellow. He's an Australian. He was an engineer. He was a volunteer. And during the war, he volunteered to be an officer. And slowly he progressed and got more and more rank. And eventually at the Battle of Hamel, I hope I pronounced that right. The Battle of Hamel, he now was the commander-in-chief of all the armies. He had 166,000 troops. Now, only 2,000 of them were Yanks. So you can't give the Yanks the credit. Well, Monash was really interesting, is that he studied war. Before that, you had, some of you are going to get mad at me, but you had Kissinger and you had Haig with the British generals. And as I study it, there was like, it's a question of lions being led by donkeys. They didn't understand warfare. Somehow Monash began to understand modern warfare, and he, at the Battle of Hamel, he wins in 97 minutes. In 97 minutes, he wins the battle. And then he was so proficient that he got frustrated, and he went back to his paper. He says, "Well, only it's supposed to take 95 minutes." And he was literally figuring out why it took two more minutes. Well, the German general at that time said, "We've lost the war." And he told the Kaiser, "We've lost. We can't win. The only thing we can do is either give up or fight defensively." So literally, Monash, who doesn't get celebrated, won World War I. And I really like the guy. And he's a winner. He got knighted on the battlefield, which was one of the few people who were ever knighted on the battlefield for 300 years. Okay, next one. Now here's another one, Gallipoli. That's interesting, because when I hear people, Aussies, talk about Gallipoli, it's just kind of like a dark thing. Oh, what a chaos. Right? But guess what? Do you know that Aussies won? What was the objective of, at Gallipoli? To fight the Turks. Now, it was horrendous the way the British generals led it, but the Aussies accomplished what they were supposed to do. They broke the back of the Turkish army. And the Turkish army historically never put in a major opposition again. They lost and lost and lost. And it was the boys, the Aussies, at Gallipoli that broke their back. You guys don't celebrate that, do you? Gallipoli. No, you need to say, "Hey, we won that one too." Look at your neighbor and say, "We won that one too." Okay, the next one, Ron. Now, this is an example of the German army. They were proficient. They were military. They were disciplined. And this, who's this fellow here? You know who this guy is? Red Baron, right? Do you know how many allies did he knock down? 80. 80 allies he knocked down. Nobody could stop him except when he got in the crossfire of an Aussie machine gun. That was the end of the story. Australia got talent. Okay, next one. Then Dakota. I saw the movie. Have you seen the movie, Dakota? And when you see the movie, at the end of it, it's like, oh, you know, you're like, oh, so depressing. No, wait a minute. Let me tell you what happened. At Dakota, the Japanese were going to send 27,000 Japanese infantry to attack Australia, which had never been beaten in history before. And who was there to stop them? 1,000 Chokos. They weren't trained. In fact, a lot of them were IARR rejects. And they stopped the Japanese army. So at the end of the movie, it ought to be, "Hey, we won this one too. Congratulations, Australia." And then go on. Next one, Ramon. Did you know what Romney said about Australia? And one time he said, "You give me two divisions of Australia and we'll conquer the world." Another time he said, now this is Romney, who was the great war general. Another time he said, "If I'm going to take hell, I'd take Australians to take it and New Zealand to keep it." Another time he said, this is interesting, he said, "I don't understand Australians, because every time we use Blitzkrieg in Poland and Greece and whatever, we won. But when we fought The Australians, they didn't get it. And even though we sent in tanks, they kept fighting. And so Australia's got talent. Next one. Okay, now you're probably saying that this, I came to church and I thought, you know, you'd quote a verse or something and you're talking about history. But I'm trying to make a point. I just feel that sometimes we don't celebrate what Australia's got talent. Who's the next? Fighting Max McKenzie. You know, you're familiar with Fighting Max? You need to read about this guy. This guy is fantastic. He was a chaplain. He was a Salvation Army chaplain that went to Gallipoli. And a lot of times the infantry guys didn't respect the chaplains because the chaplains would all sit back in safety. And the only time they'd show up is when they'd have a little service and then go back and drink tea. You know, but these guys were blokes and they were tough and, you know, and they did the hard work. So they didn't really respect chaplains. So, what's his name? Fighting Max trying to figure out, how can I win their heart? And so what they did in those days, they used to do bare knuckle boxing. You know, no gloves. And so he would get in the ring with these guys. Now, he was a Christian, born again Christian, but he's trying to win the heart, so he'd get in there and hit a couple of times. You know, the guy got hit and said, hey, this guy's a real man. And he won their hearts. When the battles were fought, he would charge in to the battle with a shovel in one hand, because the job of the chaplain was to bury the dead, and the Bible in the other. Over a period of time in Gallipoli, we look at Gallipoli as a bad thing. Over a period of time in Gallipoli, he led 300 Aussies to the Lord in foxholes. And they got to the point where they loved them. And whenever he'd get in the foxhole with them, they would position their bodies where the Turks are flying this way so that to protect them. That's Fighting Max McKenzie. Okay. Now this gal, I love this gal. And it's not too far from here. Bundaberg, you know about her, right? The gal was brilliant. Her husband, her brother used to have a sugarcane plantation. And she came to the sugar plantation. And so she told her brother, let me teach them about Jesus. And the brother said, oh, they're just animals. They're not going to listen to you. She says, oh, just let me. So he builds a little chapel on the plantation. And he begins to, every Sunday, preach the gospel. And they couldn't speak English real well. And so I don't know how she did it, but she kind of struggled with that. Because I ministered in Solomon Islands, and they have like about 12 different dialects. You know, they can't even communicate. And they couldn't speak, and she began to share, right? And then one chapel day, at the end of the service, this is a wonderful story. This fellow by the name of Jimmy Abua, and he says, he stayed later. And Florence said, can I help you, Jimmy? And Jimmy says, I won't belong to Jesus. I won't belong to Jesus. Now, I got saved out of the Jesus movement. And during the Jesus movement, they tell you, hey, why don't you give Jesus a chance? Let's give Jesus a chance. Let me tell you, Jesus doesn't need a chance. I need a chance. But Jimmy Abua already belonged to the master, and the master was cruel. But he wanted to belong to a benevolent master. I won't belong to Jesus. So Jimmy Abua accepted the Lord. He began to grow and study the Bible. And then when he went back to the Solomon Islands, he began to preach. Witch doctors tried to kill him. His family wouldn't feed him, but he persevered. And then one Solomon Islander got saved, and another Islander got saved. And just as you were sharing, it moved on and on and on. And yes, then there was a revival. And now today, there's a church called South Sea Evangelical Church that was a result of Florence Young teaching a bunch of Kanakas about Jesus, and she never went to the Solomon Islands. I love that gal, you know, and Florence Young. Okay, next one, Ramon. How about Frank Jenner, George Street evangelist? This guy was brilliant too. He's going to be way up there in heaven. Now, what he would do in George Street, Sydney, he'd be there walking around, and he'd try to find someone who had was in a military uniform, and he'd say, excuse me, I hope you don't mind, but when you die, would you go to heaven or hell? Please think about that. Thank you very much. And he'd give him a tract. That was it. And he goes find another excuse me, I hope you don't mind, but when you die, you'll either go to heaven or hell. Will you please think about that? Thank you very much. Here's a track. That's it? He did that for 20 years. Well, Jack Griffin, which is the head of the Navigators, who started the Navigators, he did some research, and he found out that several people all over the world, from these military people, got saved, and they become missionaries. And at this one mission, there was a conference of missionaries, I think it was in India, from all over the world. He told that story, and one of the people in the group stood up, was crying. And he says, can I help you? He says, I'm one. And all of a sudden, another person got up. And he said, I'm one. And he won. And all this, Frank Jenner didn't even know that this was, that he was being successful. All he was saying, excuse me, I hope you don't mind. When you die, you'll either go to heaven or hell. Will you please consider about it? He produced missionaries all over the world. And one Indian convert led thousands, hundreds of thousands of people to the Lord. Australia Got Talent. Okay, are we familiar with Mr. Eternity? Sometimes I get intimidated because I'm dyslexic and I don't have a lot of talents. And I'm dumb. I'm dumb. I'm a dumb guy. Okay? And then I said to myself, I'm stupid. And maybe I ought to go back and find all the people who told me stupid and say, I apologize. You're right. I'm stupid. But then I figured that would be stupid, so I didn't do it. But then this guy challenged my life. He was brilliant. Now, his mother was a prostitute. She was a drunk. When they would get drunk, he'd have to sleep in the underneath the house on top of potato sacks. He went to war, fought in World War I. He got saved, came to know the Lord. He was illiterate, never had any education, could not read or write. When he wrote his name, you couldn't read it, right? And he got saved, and the preacher preached, if I could yell eternity through the streets of Sydney, I'd yell eternity, eternity. And this spoke to his heart in such a way that he went and got himself chalk, and everywhere, you know that story? Everywhere he'd wake up early in the morning, early, bright and early in the morning, and then he'd go and write eternity, and then every 100 feet, he'd write eternity. A friend of mine, Robert Bolton, saw some of those eternity things. And in fact, you know what? When he was questioned by some theological, I love those theological guys. You know, in your opinion, what is the concept of relativity? And blah, 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 blah. And so they asked him, what do you mean by eternity? He didn't know. He wasn't sure, but he knew he was important, so he wrote eternity all over Sydney. You want to do the next one, Ramon? And then at the turn of the century, what happened? They had eternity up there. And so I just, you know, it's so exciting that this guy, all he had was a piece of chalk, and he served the Lord. Again, Australia Got Talent. We need to find out what our talent is. What is your talent? And then use it. Use it. I need your help. You may have that talent that will encourage me. Yeah, but I'm nobody, and I had a rough, you know, my dad doesn't, you know, in school, and, you know, and blah, blah, blah. No, God loves you. You're a priest, and you're a king. Did you know that? Did you know that? That the Bible says you're a king? If you know Jesus, you're a king and a priest, and he's given you talents. Australia Got Talents. Okay, next one, Ramon. Well, that's what the Australian Navigators want to do. We want to go through Australia and find out people and help disciple them so they can reach their full potential. It would be real embarrassing to get to heaven and find out, and God said, let me show you something. And we go in the back room here somewhere, and we find all these things I could have done, but I never had the opportunity to do them because I didn't pursue it. Because I was too busy watching, what is that, you know, there's a problem nowadays with kids that the chiropractors are taking advantage of because they sit there on the computer too much and for hours, and they never get to know themselves or their talents because they're playing these games. And these games can get really addictive, you know. And these are a group of parents who have committed themselves to disciple their children and to allow their children to find out what talents they have. This is Stu and their family in the corner over here. And so next one. And then these are some other people that we minister with. The ministry training school up there in the corner. Caesar is a real talented guy in the Lord. This fellow in the middle is in Turkey. He's in Turkey, in harm's way, right in the front of, in the face of the Muslim problems. He's there preaching Jesus. And then Dave Chapman. You guys know Dave? Dave Chapman and his wife Mary. Dave is interesting, is that he, when I met him, he didn't know that he had talents. And now he's in Zimbabwe, and he's taking care of five orphanages. And he's discipling these kids that nobody else really cares about. And then the island ministry, and Ramon is in the middle of that. The island ministry, we have an island ministry of Samoa and Tongan Islands. Ramon, next. And then the up there we have, here we have a recent, Ramon was involved in baseball, and we prayed that the baseball would have significant influence, and we prayed that someone might come to the Lord, and Ramon would come up the bat, and he would do the sign of the cross. I don't know where he got that. You know, my great grandparents were Catholic, but I'm not. But somehow Ramon does the sign of the cross. Well, my friend here, Brett, was the umpire. And he'd be down there and he'd see this boy with the sign of the cross. And eventually he comes to know the Lord as his Savior. And he's walking with God and he's doing real great things. And then up there you have the Spanish ministry in Richland. And their parents. And then they're the youth group. They're crazy. They're wild. And so we're ministering with them. Go ahead, Ramon. And then I was so challenged by this Frank Jenner and this Eternity Man that we go down now to, on Wednesdays, we go down to the Queen Street Mall and go over there and share Jesus with people. And then over here, the middle guy is Martin Fakaya. And Sam up there was kind of a rough guy, and he led him to the Lord. And eventually Sam became the pastor of the Aboriginal Church. And then Carl Bush, he's a crazy man. He's up there in the north. And the Kimberleys, and he ministers to Aboriginals. Okay, Ramona, is there one more? Okay, and this is the whole mob. This is the Australian Navigators. And we get together from time to time. Now, Ephesians talks about, interesting, that God has invested gifts in each one of us. And the pastor, you know, he'd really like you to use it. You'd help him out. By the way, how many have prayed for me? Raise your hand. How many pray for me? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The rest of you, if I blew it, it's your fault. Huh? I'm just the guy. And let me ask you there. Raise your hand. How many here pray for the pastor? Every you pray the, okay, for those who didn't pray for the pastor, don't complain, because it's easy. Well, you know, the pastor, you know, and blah, 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 blah. You know, them lips get flapping, right? When it comes time to pray, we're just kind of, they're tight, that we don't say anything. This is just a guy. He's made out of the same stuff that you and I. And he needs you to help him. It's easy to complain. Did you know that the word gossip and the word gospel have the same root word? But when it comes time to gossip, man, the lips, them, well, did you hear? And you wouldn't believe what I said. But when it comes time to share the gospel, well, you religious? But we know the gospel is not complex, is it? Is the gospel? No, you don't have to be a theologian. In fact, we are theologians because we're studying God. It's a simple proposition. You're a sinner. I have good news for you. Before I tell you the good news, I got the bad news. You are a sinner. You're a rotten sinner. You deserve to go to hell. But here's the good news. And I really appreciate the gentleman, the elder who's praying. I was going to take notes on your sermon. I mean, on your praying. I was ready to say, we don't need any sermon. This, he already said it. It's a simple proposition. Jesus came to earth. God among men stayed here, and then he died on the cross for my sins. I am not perfect, but I am been made sanctified. I'm going to heaven. If you know Jesus, you're going to heaven, and you've been sanctified. So God takes frail and broken vessels to do his work, and he gives them talents. But we got to use them. Because you know the story in the Bible where the three folk, what's the story? This wealthy guy is going to take a trip, and he gives the first fellow, how much did he give him? How much talents? 10. Okay? And then the next guy. And then how about the last guy? Okay? That's why when I meet somebody who's really intelligent, I tell them, you know, you got a lot of nerve. And I expect more from you. Because God's given you talents. Look around the room and just consider that that other person is your responsibility. And so when God goes, when you get to heaven, God's going to find the person in this room who you don't like, and he's going to say, how are they? You're in trouble. But you're responsible. We don't have, you know, we're not going to like each other. People, you, half of you are here saying, who is this nut that they've invited to speak at the church today? I mean, he's got a gruff voice, and he's a yank of all things. But each one of us, God has invested some talent for the benefit of another believer. Are you blessing them? They need it. Okay. By, at the end of when we're leaving, I put a book, a little notebook over there, exercise book. What do they call that exercise book? When I came here to Australia, they called it exercise. You exercise with a book? No. So there's an exercise book, and if you would like to receive our letters, information, if you could put down emails or a snail mail address, but write neat. Don't get real fancy. And then I have some magazines that for you that if you could like to take one, and it would tell you about our ministry. I appreciate if you would pray that we would find Aussies who don't know they have talents, and that we would help them find out their destiny. Because we need more Monashes. We need more Florence Young. I don't think she ever went to a theological training. We need more Frank Jenners who will go out to complete strangers and ask him to think about eternity. I'm on the street, and that scares me to death. When I go to complete, my legs are like, but it's got to be done. Australia's got talent. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you've invested, Lord, you've invested talents and gifts and abilities in our lives. And Father, I even thank you that the privilege that you've made us responsible to share that. Give us the wisdom to know where the talent is and what it is that we can do for the kingdom. I pray, Father, that that for this group, that they would pray for me as we go out and find Aussies and help them to find and nurture and build up their talents, because we want Aussies in heaven. And with all the nonsense that we hear on the radio and the TV and that's going on in the world, it doesn't really matter, because we've already won 2,000 years ago when Christ, you know, rose from the dead. And Lord, we just thank you for the privilege of being your servant. In Christ's name, amen.